And I really appreciate the title of my sermon today, Spring Into Action, because we had some individuals that sprung into action and saved this sermon today, because I really wanted to be able to share these pictures with you guys. And I appreciate the technology that we have in the state in which we live, but at the same time, boy, it could get your heart racing. So yeah, I was really starting to worry there for a minute, but Aaron called it. He said, I think the HDMI cord is actually bad. But nevertheless, the good Lord takes care of us and the show would go on. And yeah, as some of you probably know, it's a show sometimes with me. And hopefully this message that I have for you today will bring some value to you. If there's some value that you get out of this message, I am thankful for that, and I praise the Lord and give him the glory for that. Those that are live streaming, welcome this morning. Thank you for tuning in. There's many of you that have been in our prayers, and we continue to lift our prayers for you. And I wanted to get started this morning with just to say how much I appreciate this time of the year. I love this time of the year. So I'm outside as much as I could possibly be. I just love being out there doing things, especially riding my bike. And as of Sunday last week, March 20th, was the official day of spring. And one thing I really like about spring, as you can see here, is the newness of life that there is. There's abundance of life that is springing up all around us. I love the smells. I love the orange blossoms. I have two of the trees in my front yard. And I love seeing all the colors, the vibrant production of the plants in our wildlife, how it's just all over the place. Everything's moving. Everything's active. And, you know, it's been dormant for a while here, and the leaves have been off the trees. The trees are all starting to produce, to bud, and to bring out their new foliage. And I really appreciate that. And it's the smells in the air, the change of the temperature. It helps me be able to know that throughout all these seasons, whether it's basically in the environment that we live, or it's in our social lives, or it's in society itself, we all go through seasons. And I really appreciate this time of the year. And it helps me be able to refocus on those things that I'm dealing with, and to have inspiration, and to be able to be encouraged, because I know that with the life that springs up around me, around us, that God always opens up those opportunities to have for us to have a newness of life. And I want to start off, and I wanted to read my opening scripture would be in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm just going to read 3-4 verses there. It's verses 21 through 24. It says, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, then ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that newness is something that I know we all have an opportunity to adventure into, to seek out in our life. And I'm thankful for that every day, because that time that I made the decision to enter into the waters of baptism, you know, life has been a blessing ever since then. And I appreciate so many little things so much more. And it's the little things that make a big difference. And I have this picture here. I took it yesterday when I was out riding bikes with my son Connor. And this here is just something that, you know, it's really little, but it has kind of two sides to it. You know, it has that rough and thorny side, but you know, every season it brings out this beautiful flower. And this actually bears fruit too. So I wanted you guys to see this. And this is the scientific name for this plant. So it's pronounced Echinocereus engelmannii. So Echinocereus, kind of like me, a guy that's not serious, echo, no, serious, but we're going to be serious, and engelmannii. Other names for this plant here is Engelmann's hedgehog cactus. So I never knew that. I lived here pretty much all my life. I moved here when I was 12 from Chicago, never seen a cactus before in my life. Moved here, and I never knew the name of this cactus. There's a lot of cactuses out there that I'm sure I don't know the names of, but this one caught my eye yesterday, so I took a picture of it. It's a beautiful plant, and here's another picture of it here, and I just wanted to kind of figure out, you know, what is this cactus all about? You know, you got this spiny little short nasty little thing that pops out this beautiful flower every spring. It's something new from it, and it's beautiful. And, you know, I kind of reflected that on my own personal life, how I was, and, you know, when the Lord came into my life, how beautiful that is. And so with this cactus, when I looked it up, it was at wildflower.org. It is one of the most conspicuous and exceptional varieties of cactus. I was like, wow, that cactus, from now on, when I go out in the desert and I see this cactus, I'm going to be like, that's a really conspicuous looking cactus there, right? You know, it's kind of odd they gave it this term, conspicuous. And I looked that up. It's open to the view, obvious to the eye, easy to be seen, manifest, has to stand in a conspicuous place. It says obvious to the mental eye, clearly or extensively known, perceived, or understood. And I was like, wow, that's a conspicuous cactus, and I never knew about it before in my whole life. I know it's out in the desert. I know it's all over the place. I know it's going to hurt if I fall on it, but I didn't know anything else about this cactus, and it's been there all my life. And so this cactus is, it's got a couple other names that it's actually easier to pronounce and understand and to relate to. They call it the Engelmann's hedgehog cactus. So it's the hedgehog cactus. Engelmann is the gentleman that gave it that scientific name, or his dad. I think it was his dad. He named it after his son, Engelmann. Hedgehog cactus, saint's cactus. I thought that was really interesting. You know, I'm going to bring this cactus into a sermon, and it's called the saint cactus. You know, strawberry cactus, strawberry hedgehog, and purple torch. So, you know, all these names are a lot simpler for us to be able to relate to. But really, the one thing I wanted to point out here is, you know, this cactus, it's all over the place. It's all around us. All we got to do is step outside the city or get on a trail. A lot of people have these as decorations in their front yard. It's just all over the place. And it's kind of funny how God is all over the place, and he's all around us, and he's very conspicuous if our eyes are open to see him. If we're aware of him, we see him all over the place, working his wonders and doing his things, working within our lives spiritually and blessing us and helping us be able to understand and know of him if we're willing to receive that, if we're willing to look and see where he's at, that he's all over the place. And so, you know, when we understand that he's there for us, you know, are we understanding that he has a reason for us, that we have a purpose with him, that there's things that we do in our lives that can, and so to speak, relate to this cactus? You know, are we being short? Are we being defensive? Or are we blossoming, bearing fruit, and being a beautiful thing in the sight of God? And I think about those things, and it helps me be able to look at myself and understand some of those things that need to change. And I did point out, you know, bearing fruit. This cactus actually does bear fruit. And I have that here. And that's one of the pieces of fruit that come off of this cactus. And The inner pulp is pleasantly sour sweet and very palatable. Simply slice the fruit in half and scoop out the pulp, and the seeds are crunchy, and it kind of reminds me of a little kiwi in a way. It's kind of like a kiwi, if anybody's eaten that. It's got a little bit of a sour, a good sweet to it, and when you're eating a kiwi, you eat those little black seeds, they're crunchy. Some people like that, some people don't. But here in Psalms 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And we have to see him. He's conspicuous. We have to know he's there to even be able to trust in him. We have to have him in part of our life. And so I'm going to tell you a story. And I'm going to do it because in the future, I want you to be able to trust me. Now, I know I'm a kind of guy that doesn't look like one that you can trust too much, but I'm going to share this story with you. And it was a Sedona trip that my family and I took. I think I might have shared this before, but I'm going to do it again. And we were going up into Sedona to do some hiking, and we were going to Cathedral Rock. It's a pretty good climb. And along the way, there's a lot of prickly pear cactuses. And so my kids were a lot younger, and we were bringing them up the mountain, and I wanted to share some knowledge with my kids. So I said, hey, kids, you know, the prickly pear bears fruit as well, similar to this hedgehog cactus. And a lot of people make jelly with it. They do all sorts of stuff with the prickly pear. And so I said, this fruit is really good. And I pulled one of the pieces of fruit off the prickly pear, and I did my part, you know, because I know that the fruit has some thorns on it, some things that can hurt you if you were to consume it. And, you know, I did the most part of trying to scrape it off the best that I could. But as I peeled the skin off, I figured, well, I got all the little spines off of it, the little needles, and I begun to eat this piece of fruit from the prickly pear. Well, it has really, really fine little fibrous needles in it, and they got stuck in my lips. And I'm trying to, you know, be a cool dad and let the kids know, hey, this is really good, but I'm not, you know, let me try it. No, you're not going to try it. And it started, I mean, don't ever just eat prickly pear without properly. So I went home and watched the YouTube videos how to properly take care of a prickly pear piece of fruit. And you could burn off those hairs, or you really got to scrape them off. You got to do your part, your due diligence to get that off there. Well, I suffered the consequences of that. And so we're hiking up to Cathedral Rock. I'm sure many of you know of that, and it's a pretty hard hike. And I'm trying to drink water, and I got these needles in my lips, and it's hurting more and more and more. But I'm not trying to express that to my kids. But I wanted to share that with you guys. So if at any time you would like to share this information and you want to take the lead and pull a piece of fruit and demonstrate to somebody that prickly pear fruit is good and it's edible, that you take the precautionary measures in doing so. So you don't hurt yourself like I did. I led by a bad example. The kids were laughing at me, and Alicia was laughing at me quite a bit with that one. But the reason why I tell you this little story is because I want you to trust me when I tell you this, because I don't want to see that pain that you guys can experience and the discomfort of having to deal with that for hours and hours and hours afterwards. It was very, very uncomfortable. And so now I want to reread Psalms 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And now we have this here, and this is scripture, the word of God, that is given to us. And we know that these Psalms were written by David, and that they're given to us for us to be able to understand and to know that the Lord is good and to trust him. And so when I tell you about God, when I stand up here and testify of how good he's been to myself, my family, to my brothers and sisters, I want you guys to trust in that. I want you to trust in the word of God. I want you guys to be able to see that the fruit that is bear that becomes from exercising what God gives us is so sweet. It's so wonderful. It isn't going to hurt you. It's going to help you. It's going to help you grow. It's going to help you understand. And the Lord, He wants us to trust in Him with that. And when we have that trust, it builds up our faith. It gives us the ability to be confident and knowing that we can share that, to stand up for what God has done in our lives and how it's changed us, how that can help us create newness in other people's lives. It gives us that ability to do so. That's God's Spirit nourishing us. That's Him helping us. And I wanted to read. You know what? I'm not going to read that. No, I am. See, indecisiveness is one thing that I don't appreciate within myself. But in Alma chapter 16, I'm going to read 170 through 173. It says, "But if you will nourish the word, ye nourish the tree as it bringeth it to grow by your faith with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof. It shall take root, and behold, it shall be a tree springing up to everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by you shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. And you shall feast upon this fruit even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith and diligence and patience and long-suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you." And so these are some of the things that we know, that if we let the roots, the Word of God, be planted in us, and we have our roots deep within the gospel, within the love of God, that these things will be abounding through us and within us. And so what do we need to do? We need to take action, and we need to watch it grow. I took this. I fell in love with my wife a long time ago. But on the same note, I fell in love with these canna plants. I saw these. My mom had one in her backyard, and I just loved it. And so my mom, she needed brakes done on her car. So she came over, and I was telling my mom, "Hey, I want to, you know, propagate your canna plant and get some of those plants and make more plants, and because this is a plant that you could propagate." And well, when I did the brakes on her car, she bought me one. And this here is the flower from that canna plant. And I'm really excited about it because this was over the summer. It blossomed. It's a beautiful plant. I just love it. And so one of the neat things about this canna plant, it's kind of like ginger. A lot of people know that ginger, when it's under the ground, it'll just keep growing and growing and growing and growing, and you'll have all these roots. Well, the canna plant kind of does the same thing, and it sprouts up new canna plants all around it. And so if you are careful, you take care of it, and you start digging those out, and you can cut those roots, and you can propagate it, put it in a new piece of dirt close by or wherever you want it in another pot, it'll grow another plant. So I've been doing this, and I have these planters out back. If you look at this plant, those are probably 6 to 8 foot planters. There's one there, and there's another one. Well, in the course of the last 6 months, I think I got like 5 of these plants going just from that one plant. And I really am excited about that because, number one, if you go to Home Depot and you want to buy one of these plants, it's $30, you know, so that adds up quick. But at the same time, it's neat to be able to see how God's creation and something so beautiful can continue to grow, can expand, can be put in other places, can be beautiful in the sight of others, that can be shared, that can be gifted. All those things that you could think of something so simple that God put on this earth for us to enjoy. We can have an abundance of it as long as we take care of it, and as long as we nurture it, and as long as we take the action to help it grow and to expand out. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, I just have verse 2 there. It says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior." And this is a really, it's not, a rose smells really nice. This has a good smelling aroma to it. And I look at this scripture and, you know, I think about when Christ came and when he walked with his people and how he just attracted thousands upon tens upon hundreds of thousands and millions of people. You know, it continues to grow. The love of God is continuously being propagated through his children, through us. And it's as long as we are followers of God. And we have that capability to be able to share that love, to be able to expand, to be able to go to places and to teach and to admonish and to minister and to be able to fellowship, to be able to fellowship with others. I really appreciate that. And I wanted to read a few verses out of the book of Alma. It says in Alma chapter 3, 28 through 31, it says, "Have ye received his image in your countenance? Have ye experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do ye exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality, and this corruption raised in incorruption, to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body?" And, you know, when I look at this cana flower here, it's beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful flowers. I fell in love with this plant. I just can't tell you, express how much I like this plant. And I know that God and his son has that same feeling towards all of us. And they see and perceive us such as a beautiful flower, delicate, something that has a desire to grow, to blossom, to bear fruit. That's how they see us. That's how they perceive us. But it's up to us to ask ourselves these questions within ourselves. You know, are we doing this for God? Are we here following the commandments of God and sharing his love? And those things that the talents that he gives us, are we sharing those things? Are we growing in a manner that's beautiful and pleasing unto him? Or are we the little cactus that has all these spikes on it that just are there don't grow, that live in a desert, that live in barren places within ourselves, not willing to share fruit? Are we like that? So some questions I wanted to throw out there and help us be able to see the value in God's love for us, and to be able to understand that when we open our hearts to him, that all these things start changing, all these things start happening. And it's all for the good of God and his work. And his work's going to go throughout all the world, despite all the craziness that goes on there. But we have to always look at that light of God and go in the right direction and head towards that. And so that leads to this. So my brother over here and I put these pictures up there. And I kind of was trying to, I don't know, I'm not an artistic guy, but I wanted to kind of do something here. And I don't know, maybe you could see my train of thought. I put Psalms 119, 105 at the bottom by our feet. "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And we were out. This was Thanksgiving Day. And we were out mountain biking Pemberton Trail on the east side of McDowell Mountains. And I'm on the left, or you're right, maybe, yeah, on my bike. And that's the sun coming up. And it's really interesting the type of glow these mornings have and how beautiful it is. It's beautiful to watch a sunrise and a sunset here in Arizona. I really appreciate that. But even more so beautiful is that light that God gives us to follow after. And I know my brother and I have similar paths in life, and I appreciate to be able to see how God works in other people's lives, even in all the different paths that all of us have taken and are taking or are coming to an end of. You know, it's important that we see that in each other, in God's beauty, how it works within each other. And so Matthew 5, 14 and 15, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Oh, I get that weird thing in my throat, huh? Oh, my wife hates that. And, you know, it's important that, you know, through life, through the paths that we go through, that we are continuously that light for God, that we're diligently active, seeking after what it is he has for us to do in our lives, and to be able to share that with others and to let others hear our testimony, let others see what God has done to such a person as I. You know, we look at ourselves, where we've been, and we also look to see where we're going, continuously self-examining ourselves. And if we're active, we're always going to be growing, getting stronger. Those roots are going to go deeper within us, that word of God. And it's going to help us be able to have confidence, strength, endurance, all those things that we need to be able to continue to share that gospel that God has given us. And so with that, Philippians chapter 2, 13 and 16, it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. This is here a picture that I took, I think it was about 2 months ago, and it's up at Apache Wash Trail. It's a beautiful area up north where I like, it's like one of my favorite places to ride my bike because it's out of the city a little bit. The houses that you see, that's up north there. That's Carefree. So Carefree Highway is right there. Those houses are on the north side of that. But one of the things you can see there is, and I'll come around here. I don't want to hit the screen. There's that little trail right here. And it actually curves around the mountain and goes down here. And this trail goes all the way back out and around. It's about, when I'm done with it, it's about 8 miles. And this, Jose's done this portion of the trail. And it's very difficult. I give it a 7 out of 10. It's pretty smooth, but it's a lot of uphill for a long way. So it really wears on you. And it's kind of funny because when I ride my bike now, it's more of a mental game than anything. Like, I can pedal up a lot of hills for a long time without stopping. And that's because of the conditioning of doing these types of trails time and time and time again. It's what I have a desire to do. But I remember when I would first try to accomplish going up trails like this without stopping, it was brutal. It was like, I was murmuring. I was disputing within myself. I wanted to stop. I wanted to give up. I wanted to walk. And, you know, over time, I just kept pushing myself, enduring the pain, enduring the hardship. And then over time, it got easier and easier. And it's interesting because one of the things that I want to point out and that I find so much value in is anything in life that you put a lot of hard work into, that you have a desire and a passion to do, that there comes a point to where you can see the rewards of your work. And one of the things I like to do with this specific part of the trail is to stop up top And this is when the sun was going down, and I like to watch the sunset. And you'll get to see a picture of that a couple slides from now. And that is something that I find pleasure in. And I look at that, and I look at all the things that go on in life and what society is doing, and I stop, and I see what God has given me, not just what's in my eyesight here at the time, how beautiful it is, but everything that encompasses my life and where I'm at. It's a time of reflection that I take a lot of times when I'm out by myself, and I want you guys to find value in that, to be able to take the action to do something that you put a lot of hard work into, and just to stop, have that calmness, that peace with God, share that time with Him, and thank Him for that, because all that He's given you, and to see how neat and how beautiful it is when He works with you in your lives. It's so important that you do that, and you become to appreciate those things that God has to offer so much more. And then once you do that, you begin to share that more and more and more. And you become that light of God. And people see that. And it's something that is a newness that you could bring to other people. You know, it's kind of like a new car. It has that shiny appeal and that smell. And, you know, it's something that you really appreciate. And just as us with God, if we change ourselves, if we have that newness, if we follow His the footsteps of His Son. You know, it's going to take us down paths, up hills, over mountains, through valleys. But with God by our side, He gives us the strength to be able to endure, to continuously be able to build up that relationship with God is so important. It helps us be able to live in this day when all this craziness is going on around us. I wanted to read Proverbs, again, it's the first chapter. I'm going to read, and this is the thing, when we have understanding. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the word, words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and the dark sayings. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." So don't despise the word of God. Let it work within you. Let it take you places. Have it help the Spirit of the Lord help you be able to understand those things that need to change within you to bring you to that newness. And there's all kinds of blessings that go with that. And so here we have, I have a question here. This path here, I put this, I like this. This was actually on a sign, Brother Jose. I don't know if you remember. This was on a sign on a trail that we were on when I took this picture. And I really appreciate that. Make some of your paths dirt. And it's to get out. So that's the meaning of that, to get out and to experience what the Lord has for you. And sometimes we need to get away from the hustle and bustle and to bring ourselves to a place where we can be with God and to have that solitude. But my question is this the beginning or the end of the path? Is this the beginning or the end of the path? Well, I guess it all depends on your perspective in life, doesn't it? You know, where are you at? Where am I at? You know, is this leading to a new place, a new chapter in my life? Or is this coming to a conclusion from another chapter in my life? Is it leading to something good? Or is it leading to something bad? Or is it coming from something bad? Or is it coming from something good that I could share with somebody else? You know, it's all on your perspective, where you're at. And that's something I want you guys to think about. You know, where are you at? Where is this path taking you in life? You know, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, whenever we're on a path in life, having the light of God as a lamp for our feet, we can't go in the wrong direction. It's when we choose to go in the wrong direction that we take the wrong turn. That's when we stumble and we fall. But, you know, look at your life, give yourself some time to reflect in, you know, what's your perspective on life? You know, how are you looking at it? Which direction are you going? What path are you taking? And, you know, this path that we're all going through in life, we know that God has a path, and he's the beginning and he's the end. And so is our path leading to God. And I want to share some words of inspiration out of 3 Nephi chapter 4. I'm just going to read 42 and 43 and 48 and 49. It says, yea, verily I say unto you, if you will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, my arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive, and blessed are they which cometh unto me. I am the light and the light of the world. I am the Alpha, the Omega, and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up to me, unto me, no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices, your burnt offerings shall be done away. I will accept none of your sacrifice and burnt offerings. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And I think that's one of the first steps in when we do examine ourselves, is to understand how the Lord can make us so humble. And it's true to the fact. And when you have that Spirit of God working with you in your life, it so helps you to be humble that it's interesting in how little things become so great. And the smallness of our being is just as important as anything in the world to God. And so whether you're just getting started in life, if you're halfway through, or if you're at the end, there's always that opportunity with God to have a newness. You could be brand new. You give your heart to God. You have that broken heart and that contrite spirit. You enter the waters of baptism, and you have that newness, a clean slate. And then that path from that point on, it's up to you what direction you go, how you're going to get there, the work that you're going to put into it. Are you going to share it with others? All those things that we ask ourselves. And so, you know, when I stand in the path of where I'm at, I look at this path and I see this path, I'm halfway. I'm right in the middle of my life right now. Well, if I live to be 100, which I don't know. You never know. I'll just share with you, my great-grandma Larson lived to be 104, so, and my grandpa lived to be 96. So whatever God's will is, I'm probably more than halfway. You know, with all the stuff that I did, yeah, I'm more than halfway. But, you know, it's a time to reflect. And one of the things that I do is I'm so full of thanksgiving for all the things that God has given me at this point in my life and on this path. And, you know, some of the things I just listed here, wisdom, knowledge, endurance, diligence. I know some people will probably argue the wisdom part, but no, it's funny. I like to be silly. It's just one of the characteristics the Lord gave me, and I'm sure some people appreciate that. But steadfastness, determination, compassion, sympathy, humility, and most of all, understanding. Understanding the counsel of the Lord, understanding my brothers and sisters. We're all from different paths, we're all from different places, but understanding that God has that same love for every one of us, and he sees us as a beautiful flower. We could be that little cactus that's completely defensive, and we can produce something that's so beautiful. I believe that God sees that beauty in each and every one of us. So I told you earlier on that path that I wrote up, Jose did it too, that I like to sit at the top of the mountain and reflect. And the silhouette, and I don't know what you call that, the background here, is at the top of that mountain. And that's the sunset of that time that I was up there from that trail. So I'll spend 20, 30 minutes up there viewing just life and the beauty that God surrounds me with. And this is that. This right here is that perfect time of the day. And it's a wonderful thing when you're going through life and you see that God is working with you. He's working with others. He's blessing others. But I look at this and I pick this scripture because I wholeheartedly believe that, and I admit, I've had some struggles, but one of the things that being humble in the presence of God has taught me, and it took a lot of time to be able to do this, and I still struggle from time to time. I practice this over and over and over again, because when you have the love of God, it says here, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And that's, I look at that simple little scripture there, and that right there, that last little verse, don't give place to the devil. Don't give him the opportunity to trip you up. Let the Lord work with you. And when you have that love, this becomes so achievable. You know, are we going to be perfect? No, we're not going to be perfect. But the Lord gives us this time, this opportunity to be able to understand and to change and to become new. Whether we have to become new every day, we should be learning from our faults, from our downfalls, and be growing from that. And the Lord gives us that opportunity to do so. So I wanted to share these slides with you, the pictures, and hopefully, most of all, I wanted to share with you the value that the Lord has helped me be able to see through these slides and through the study and through, more importantly, it's not so much the study on this sermon, it was the contemplation and the time that I took visiting with the Lord within myself and with Him that He gave me this message to share with each of you. So I pray and my hope is that you receive something from it, and may God bless each and every one of you. Thank you.